We're doing a Nyak over up to page Yutes in the standard editions. We had learned that Yutet Amud Aleph. We had learned, you'll see Yutet on the top left corner. We had learned that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had spent how many years hiding in the cave? They were there 12 years plus one, right?
That's 13.
That's very good. Okay, you pass. And then they came out, and he knew a lot of Torah. Amar, we're on the bottom of the page. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Hoil v'itrachesh nisa, being that there's been a miracle here, Ezi letkin milet, I will go and do something for the public good. The word takana, we know that a rabbinic institution can have many names. It can be called a takana, a gezerah, a siyag. So the word takana is something that's instituted for the general public good. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says something for the smooth running of society. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, I made it out of a dangerous situation by virtue of a miracle, so I should do something, some takana, some institution to benefit society. How do we know this concept? Dichtiv, as the verse says, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem, Jacob came to Israel and he was whole. What does that mean? Shalem, Amar Rav. Rav says, Shalem begufo. He was bodily unharmed. He was whole physically. He was cured from his limp, remember? Shalem b'mamono. He was monetarily unscathed. His assets were whole. When Jacob returned to the land of Israel after his encounter with his brother Esav, shalem b'torato. He was whole in his Torah knowledge. Even though he had just spent a while traveling, nonetheless, he retained his Torah knowledge. It's very hard when you're traveling to have set time to learn and to be focused and review. Yaakov comes back to Israel and he is whole in every way. Vayichan et penei ha'ir. So it says he camped opposite the city. So our sages understood that the word vayichan doesn't have to mean he camped, from the word chanaya, to camp, but rather our sages said the word vayichan can be understood as the verb of the word chen, charm. Vayichan, he gave charm et pnei ha'ir, to the face of the city. What did he do to give them charm? Amarav matbeati ken lem. Rav says he instituted a coin on their behalf. Until then, all they did was barter. He instituted a monetary system in Shechem or in Israel, and by doing that, he facilitated greater commerce and growth of the economy. Yes?
Isn't Vayichan mean that it was done to him?
Not necessarily, no.
I thought there was a Rashi in the Fitz Parsha that says when there's a Chirig, in Vayitav, it's done unto you, but when it's Vayetev, I think it's you do one to it.
Right. So that's one rule, but there are more rules. Yeah.
So,
when
Shimon Bar Yochai gets out of the cave, he wants to fix something.
We don't yet know what he's going to do, but he's learning it from Yaakov. Correct.
Just like Yaakov, he fixed, he helped Shechem.
Very nice.
Can you think about it, because it's basic economics, you know, about that a barter economy is like very, you know, it's rudimentary, right? You know, it's hard to really function because you always got to find somebody who wants what you want. But a coin system is a much more advanced economic system. It lets the economy function much better. It's a great contribution to society. Yes.
Right. Okay. Shmuel Amal, Shvakim Tikenlem. Shmuel says he established markets. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mechatzot Tikenlem. Rabbi Yochanan says he established bathhouses. Until then, they wouldn't bother taking baths too often. If you made it to the river, you got clean. Yeah, three different opinions as to what Yaakov did to benefit Israel. Coins, marketplaces, or bathhouses.
How do you establish a marketplace?
I guess he got merchants to congregate in one place, so that there would be a set place of marketplace.
Now I can tell my sisters it's a man's idea to take a shower.
So notice, what are the two things that Rabbi Yehuda praised the Romans with. They established marketplaces. They established bathhouses. And they established bridges. So two of the three are identical to what Yaakov did. Amari Kamilta de Baile Tekune. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asks, he's back to society, he's new in town. He says, what is there anything necessary to fix around here that would help society? Amrule Ika Duchta de Itbe Safek Tuma. So they told him, there's an area where we're not sure if there are bodies buried there. And it's very difficult for the priests. The Kohanim are prohibited from traversing where there is a body. So they have to go the long route around that plot of land. So no one's taken the time to actually verify if there are bodies there and where are the bodies located. So Kohanim may not go there. So that's something, if you want to go fix that, go figure out if there are bodies there and where there are bodies there. So that's something that'll help society. Amar ika inish diyada ditchazek hachatara. He said, is there anyone that knows? Is there anyone that could help us validate that that over here there was never a graveyard here? Because if I know that in all of Jewish history, as far as we can tell, there was never a graveyard here, then I can remove the bodies from here. But if maybe this was a graveyard, so then they have a right to be here. We got to work around them. So it could be that the Romans were persecuting us. People were under duress. So they buried a body quickly. We find that in the Tanakh already.
That doesn't qualify as a graveyard then?
So you're asking a good question. The Talmud in Tractate Oholos discusses, how do you create a graveyard? And that's a good question to be studied as we continue. We'll get there. So he says, can anyone tell me that we have this marketplace and people always come there to buy and sell and the Kohanim can't go there because we're not sure if there are bodies where there are bodies. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, okay, I'm going to try to verify and clear the bodies out of there. Can someone validate for me that this place was not a public graveyard in the past? Amar Lehu Saba, so that old grandfather told him. Who was the old grandfather? Very good, you remember Tosfos. What did we see Hahu Saba earlier? Does anyone remember? Oh, there was that Hahu Saba. Very good, the old man carrying the branches of myrtle, of Hadassim.
Okay, what do
you
call him?
Hahu Saba, that grandfather. That old man.
Hasn't Rabbi Shimon already demonstrated he has laser vision?
Maybe.
Can't he just use his laser vision?
Let's see. Amaleu Saba kan kitzetz ben zakai tumus tuma. So, along comes that old grandfather, maybe the same one who was carrying the myrtle branches, maybe Eliyahu Hanavi, tells him, I can tell you in this marketplace, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was here and he harvested grains. There's a lentil, actually, a bean called a turmus. Now, turmus was a bean that had to be cooked 7 times. It was so bitter, but after you cooked it 7 times, it became very sweet. It was a delicacy. So, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I can testify that he planted turmusim here and then harvested them here, and they were turmusim that were truma, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself was a Kohen. So,
What did he plant again, Rabbi Yochanan?
Turmus. Turmus is a type of bean. Well, they say down here it's Feigenbenen. Yeah. Ein Old Arbisin. Arbisin is a type of lentil. Okay, so, yeah, that's Yiddish. Yeah. Okay. So, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai planted and harvested turmus in here and gave them as truma, and he was a Kohen. So that's, who is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, guys? Help me out. Who's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai?
He established the academy in Yavne.
Okay.
Just carried out of the pagan temple, came to Titus.
Who were his teachers?
His teachers.
Who were the teachers of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? What generation was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the minor disciple of Hillel, right? Hillel had 100 students who were giants. Hillel, as Zaken Hillel, the elder. His smallest student was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. At the time of the destruction of the Second Temple, so Hillel was Nasi 100 years prior to the destruction. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a disciple of his. And then when the temple was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was at the leadership. He became the Nasi for that period. The Nasim were persecuted, the tribe of Judea. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was a Kohen, he went back, he took the leadership, and he made all the wonderful institutions that held us, that hold us till today, many institutions. The descendants of David, the house of the Nasi, the descendants of Hillel. So, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the one, when Hillel was on his deathbed, he asked, are all my students here? So they said, yeah, tell us your last teaching. And Hillel said, is the small one? They said, is he here? He said, no, I'm not talking without Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai here. You're still going to see that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what he's going to be like. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, his father's name was not Zakkai, but he was one sitting at the court when he wasn't yet a rabbi, and they were going to execute someone over a murder trial, and he asked the witnesses, can you guys tell me, I want to ask you about the figs that were growing right where the murder scene happened. Can you tell me how the branch that attaches the figs, was it fully ripe, wasn't it ripe, what color was it? And they contradicted one another, and by his finding that, he was able to disprove, to disqualify, and he was able to exonerate the person that was on death row. So then he got the nickname Ben Zakkai, because he came up with the... Zakkai means to vindicate. Okay, yes.
How was he a Kohen and Ben Levi?
He was not, that's what I'm saying. In his time, the leadership was taken out of the Davidic dynasty, out of Hillel's descendants. Hillel was a descendant of David's, yes.
So then all the Nassim after Hillel were not from the Davidic dynasty?
No, Hillel and then his son Shimon and then the son Gamliel and then the son Shimon. And then we have a break where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai takes the helm. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the one, as Mr. Dweck correctly said, he is the one who was taken out. He feigned his death, and then his two disciples, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus and Rabbi Shua ben Hanania, carried his body outside the city, and then he came to Vespasian and told him, he hailed him as Caesar, and then he was granted three wishes. So that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He has five disciples, as we are in the process of learning on Fridays. We know Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five top students. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is a disciple of Hillel and Shammai. His students, two of his students, are Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Their disciple is Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva's disciple is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is hearing testimony about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's Rabbi, we said, Rabbi Akiva. Who's Rabbi Akiva's Rabbi? Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Eliezer. And who are Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Eliezer's Rabbeim? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was a disciple of Hillel and Shammai. Again, Hillel and Shammai have a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. His disciples are Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Their disciple is Rabbi Akiva. One of his disciples is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So he's getting testimony about his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, Rebbe, Rabbi Shua Rabbi Lezer, Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, three generations up. His Rebbe's Rebbe.
Right, he's getting testimony of...
That his Rebbe's Rebbe, which was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai,
his Rebbe was Rabbi Akiva. His Rebbe was Rabbi Eliezer.
And his Rebbe was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Says Rebbe's Rebbe planted turmus here and harvested it, and he was a Kohen, so obviously he knew that this place wasn't defiled.
It could have been 150 years.
Right.
Since he died.
Right. Okay, it's a good point. Avadiunami hachi. So what he did was he also planted turmusin over there, and kolhecha davekashi tahare. He would throw the turmusim on the ground. And here we have different versions as to what happened. A miracle happened. Either the turmusim would sink, wherever there was a body, and they would stay afloat where there wasn't a body, or the body itself would float to the top wherever he'd throw down the turmusim, and then they'd delineate. Like they take it would form like a magnet. They delineate the shape of the body based on the turmusim. Either way, it's something unnatural. There's something, some EGBG going on here. So this is why Tosfa says over here, Hahu Saba is not Eliyo Hanavi. Because now the grandfather is going to say, that's why I said when we learned it, that Tosfa says almost everywhere Hahu Saba is Eliyo Hanavi. Over here, the continuation of the story indicates it's not. So this elderly grandfather went around saying, Tihel ben Yochai bet ha-kvarot, Rebbe Shimon bar Yochai, hey, did you all hear? He took a graveyard and purified it. Now, wait a second. He just gave the testimony that it was not a graveyard. But then he sees how Rebbe Shimon bar Yochai is finding all these bodies. And nonetheless, he's saying, here are the bodies and the rest is pure. The rest you can use. So he went around saying, this elderly grandfather, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai just purified a graveyard. That's not fair. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said to him, you know what? If you wouldn't have been a part of this, we came to a vote, we verified it, you were a part of it. If you wouldn't have been a part of all this process, then you could have a good claim against me. But you were a part of our court, you were part of the verification process, you took a vote when we decided whether this was proper to do or not. Yomru, you know what's going to happen? People are going to say, and he told him a very rough line. Zonot mefakesot zoetzo. When you have two women of ill repute, each one's competing with the other, right? But each one helps the other one comb their hair and set their hair straight. Why? Because each one knows, you know, we're in the business together, we're competing, but I'll help you get your act together, you'll help me get my act together. People will say the lowest dregs of society, even though they're competing, can make peace with one another so that each one can work things out, right? So the lowest people of society can have a certain peace that allows them, a certain truce that allows them to do their thing. So then shouldn't rabbis have a truce? How come you're putting a knife in my back? People will say, for those dregs of society, don't put knives in one another's back.
What knife he's putting in his back?
He's saying, oh, look at what he did. He just purified a graveyard. What do you mean? You were a part of this. So women of ill repute, when one makes the other one beautiful, so she doesn't have a mirror, so she doesn't know what she's doing to her. And yet each one does their job in a decent way. Now, this elderly grandfather, he gave the testimony that this was not a graveyard, that it was permissible to verify where the bodies are and then permit the rest of the areas pure. And then he's walking around saying, you hear, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai just purified a graveyard. But he gave the testimony that it wasn't a graveyard. So he says, what are people going to say? That we're worse than the lowest dregs of society. Yaev bei einei v'nach nafshei. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai got upset at him, gave him a look, and the old man dropped dead. So now you know it wasn't Eliyahu Hanavi, right? So this Ahu Saba, it wasn't Eliyahu Hanavi. Nafak l'shuka, he went out to the marketplace. Chazeh le'Yehuda ben Gerim, he saw Yehuda ben Gerim. He's just spent 13 years on the run because of Yehuda ben Gerim. Now we mentioned from the Talmud in Tractate Moed Katan that Yehuda ben Gerim learned by Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and in a second we'll pull up that Gemara. Amar, so Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai commented.
He
said,
how did he get the name Ben Gerim?
Because his parents were Gerim. He was at the sentence of him.
He told him Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai?
Unintentionally. So he looked at him.
Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, criticized them.
The Romans, correct. Adain yesh lezeh ba'olam. He said, is he still alive? Natan bo einav, he looked at him. V'nasau gal shel atzamot. And he became a pile of bones. He got burnt from heaven, and boom. So here, the question is, wait a second. He became a pile of bones. So let's read the Gemara in Moed Katan. We have Moed Katan here. We should have Moed Katan here. Give me 1 second. Let's grab a Gemara. Moed Katan.
We have a Shnei here. If that helps.
I don't.
We
go to
once,
no?
Yeah. and we found it.
Okay. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim was learning by Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and when he left with another student, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said to his son, Rabbi Elazar, he said, Hanashim eile anashim shel tzurahim, these two students are people that are worthwhile. And so it was Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, I don't remember who the other student was. I'm looking for Anashim Shel Tzurahim. Tzurah. Tzurah. Tzurah means they have a special shape. They have a special form. Yes.
Who's the guy that made him go to hiding again?
Again?
Well, who's the guy that made him go into hiding?
Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim.
Right, so how come it wasn't intentional? And in fact, it's actually better for Rabbi Shimon that that happened. You give him like a significantly holier person.
So okay.
Why is it considered a bad thing? You know, like God works and God has like his ways of doing things. So
that's a good question. Maybe remind me, I'll try to get back to that, okay? I'm not finding it yet, but here somewhere. So it says that he said to his son, Anashim Aile, Anashim Shel Tzuraim, these people are worthwhile people. Go get a blessing from them. So he went to get a blessing, and he got a funny blessing from them. And he came back to his father and said, not only didn't they bless me, they cursed me. So his father explained to him how it was all a blessing. So Tosfos over there comments, if I could only find it, Tosfos over there comments that if what we have here is Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, the way it seems to read in our Gemara, then we have to say that in the Talmud that we just learned in Tractate Shabbos, it doesn't say he became a pile of bones. It says he looked at him and he was upset at him and he dropped dead. But not that he became a pile of bones.
How do we make that assumption? How do we make that assumption again?
He says because if he was... give me 1 second. I'm not finding it. Okay, I don't remember where it is. It should be in the third chapter, but I'm not finding it. Let's see if someone cross-references here. I don't know. It's in Moed Katan, it's in Tosos, but I'm not finding it right now. So at any rate, he says then that there must have been another version to this Gemara, and instead of saying he became a pile of bones, it means he passed away. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai held it against him, and we do find that when big people are upset, so in heaven, they take a person to task. So he passed away.
Yehuda ben Gerim, right?
Yehuda ben Gerim.
That's why he said, for example, Rabbi Akiva, right, when they didn't want him to be the head of the Sanhedrin, right, because they said he didn't have protection.
Very good. Right.
Because, you know, in case somebody got upset at him, you know, that, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting that our Talmud doesn't call him Rebbe Yehuda ben Gerim, and yet over there in Moed Katan, he is called Rebbe Yehuda ben Gerim. Here he's called Yehuda ben Gerim, yeah.
Who is about to bite the dust, you know.
Okay, what?
Could it have been he was younger?
Could have been, but if the end of the story is that he died, so then this is the end, right. Okay. Okay, so... So we have to review this whole story now and see more depth. So unless you guys just want to move forward, want to understand more depth or move forward? More depth. Okay. So first we have to have a picture of the time period. The Romans were extraordinarily cruel to the Jews. You're talking about... they would literally rip people's stomachs out. They stick their fist in and pull their intestines out. When they were destroying the Second Temple, so Jews would sometimes flee and give themselves over into Roman hands. And the Romans wanted to ensure that maybe the guy was hiding money because people would swallow jewelry or gold. So they'd rip their intestines out. They'd grab him by the stomach, rip it out, and then look through it to check if the guy had hidden money. That's the level of cruelty you had. it says there was a stream of blood outside Jerusalem from the women that they raped. That's how many women were...
Second, after the destruction.
During the period of the destruction of the Second Temple. So whenever we speak about the Roman Empire, the Talmud calls them Malchut HaRasha'a, the wicked kingdom, the evil empire. If you thought Bush invented the term the evil empire, it's actually the Talmud uses the term the evil empire. Okay. The evil empire, our sages said about the Roman Empire. So the Roman Empire had tens of thousands of Jews in slavery. They took tens of thousands of Jewish girls and boys into brothels. They were the worst thing that happened to us in Jewish history. We never had an enemy that treated us as badly as the Romans, be it in torture, be it in crucifixion and forced conversion and taking children and shipping them all over the world for slavery. And slavery meant that the children were abused in every manner and means. So to have this conversation where the rabbis are talking about the Roman Empire, and a great rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda ber Rabbi Eloi, can express something positive. And we have to understand Rabbi Yehuda ber Rabbi Eloi and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, throughout the Shas, they're arguing. Meaning, you go through any chapter in Shas, it's almost impossible to finish a chapter in Shas without encountering Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Whenever you encounter the names Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, you are learning about the two disciples of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Eloi. And at first glance, it seems that the it seems that Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Eloi was only appointed to be the first speaker because the Romans said so. But if you look at the Talmud in Tractate Erevin says that there were all kinds of generations. The greatest generation was the generation of Rabbi Yehuda ber Rabbi Eloi, where people had such poverty that the students would huddle under one blanket. They didn't have heat. You'd have a bunch of students huddled under one blanket learning Talmud. So they were the impoverished generation after the destruction of the Second Temple, probably after the rebellion of Bar Kokhba was destroyed, because we know that happened in Rabbi Akiva's lifetime. So the Jewish presence in Israel was totally subordinate to the Romans, and the generation in that state of poverty learned Torah out of tremendous dedication. And when the Talmud speaks about the generation, it calls it the generation of, doesn't call it the generation of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, calls it the generation of Rabbi Yehuda ber Rabbi Eloi. So it certainly sounds like Rabbi Yehuda ber Rabbi Eloi was the head of the generation by his own merits. And as you go through Shas, what you encounter in Shas is that very often in Shas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eloi was the more stringent one. It is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai with all his holiness and Zohar, he is the more lenient one throughout the Shas. If you'll pay attention as you go, you'll see that there are great arguments between them in the realm of Muksa and many areas, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai does take the stronger, more lenient opinion. We always say you have to be stronger in Torah knowledge to be more lenient, right? But our conversation begins with a discussion of the Romans, and here Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, is willing to say something positive about this nation. Many people would have said something negative. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi is willing to say something positive. And we have to wonder, what does that mean? How pleasant are the actions of this nation? Wait a second, they murdered 500,000 Jews. What do you mean, how pleasant are the actions of this nation? So that's what we'll have to analyze, God willing, next week when we revisit the Inyakov. Yes, on Monday night.